Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports today here on SportsGrid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. We'll recap the fantasy football weekend, and of course, look ahead to Monday Night Football. We'll set a lineup for you in Daily Fantasy. Also, take a look at Thrive Fantasy's lineup tonight. Do some props as well. Dave, it's great to be back with you. Hope you had a really nice Thanksgiving, a fun holiday for sure.
Yeah, no Josh Jacobs for me in DFS yesterday. Don't have Josh Jacobs in any of my high stakes leagues or anything like that. So I've had better Sundays. Thursday, I actually thought the Thanksgiving games were pretty good. We got drama in most of them. I guess not a ton of drama in Giants Cowboys, but I thought the games were pretty good. I mean, exciting to see an actual high scoring Sunday night football game. Jordan Love subbing in for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the report came out before the game. He was playing with that avulsion fracture in his hand, and Love looked kind of passable, right? Which is sort of interesting there. So yeah, and I mean, the World Cup continues to roll, and the games have been unbelievable. I think we've had 11 goals already this morning.
All right, so we'll keep that rolling with the World Cup, and of course, covered for you here on FST, including tomorrow's match against Iran. Let's go through our fantasy standouts and our highlights. First, let's start off with the headlines on the show today. The Eagles beat the Packers last night. An epic game for Jalen Hurts, the second most rushing yards for a quarterback in the history of the NFL. How about that? The Eagles beat the Packers. Also, Aaron Rodgers ends up getting hurt. I would guess we'll probably see more of Jordan Love moving forward. Mike White gets the start for the Jets. He had a nice game, and they beat the Bears 31-10. Fantasy hero yesterday, maybe the fantasy hero of the season, Josh Jacobs of the Raiders leads them to a victory over the Seattle Seahawks on the road, over 300 total yards, including the game winner at the end. It was incredible. Georgia, they win. Michigan beats Ohio State. TCU still undefeated as they enter the final week of the regular season. And Davis, it could be some chaos this week. You never know. I mean, I suppose right now, if all the teams that are supposed to win in college football, then we know the final four will be set. But, you know, I'm here to tell you, Kansas State is pretty good. They could give TCU a battle, I think. Who knows? Maybe Purdue beats Michigan. And then Alabama just sort of waiting in the wings for another team to lose. But college football, really crazy on Saturday, too. Michigan, I mean, we definitely have to mention them here on the show, going to Ohio State and winning like they did.
And throwing the ball forward for the first time I can ever remember in the history of Harbaugh's Michigan. I mean, this kid McCarthy throws three touchdown passes in the second half. This is such a weird thing, and this is totally neither here nor there. But how is Michigan, this amazing recruiting school, they get all these great guys, they have all these great defensive players, all these great running backs, how in Harbaugh's entire tenure have they never found a quarterback? I mean, we're talking like, I mean, get one of these guys who goes, get, why is Jackson Dart not the quarterback of Michigan? You know what? Like, it has never made any sense to me. Like, you know, you're going to have a great chance of making the college football playoff. You know, you're going to play on a great offensive line. It's just very bizarre. And you're right. I mean, K-State is just begging to spoil TCU's season. It'll probably be Adrian Martinez has not played the last couple weeks, but it'll probably be his final college game ever. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he would end up playing in the bowl game. So. Yeah. Yeah. So that
other guy's playing good.
You think, yeah, I mean, it might just be Will Howard. I mean, he's been a way better passer than Martinez has ever been. Really unlocked Deuce Vaughn and Brian Sinnott, the tight end. So it's, but yeah, I mean, K-State just, they are so jazzed up to try and ruin TCU's season. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I think this weekend's going to be great in college football for sure. Let's go back here to some of the performance is yesterday. I mean, Davis, there's no question. Actually, the late games, I think really for the first time all year, turned out maybe to be better than the early games. We saw, Justin Herbert with the 2-point conversion. Also want to mention Trevor Lawrence here on the show, Davis. And I know we'll go through the fantasy standouts and we'll get to it. But I thought, you know, a big signature moment for him yesterday. And two teams going for 2-point conversions to win games both win. I mean, I don't know. Has that ever happened before? I don't remember.
I don't know if it ever has. I mean, that was it. Definitely the end of those games was insane. I'm totally with you on Trevor Lawrence though. That sequence of throwing the very quick first down to Zay Jones, then getting another first down. Then how often do you see this? How often do you see no timeout, no stoppage, nothing between basically the 50 yard line and the touchdown in the 2-minute drill? You never see that. There's always a clock. You know, you clock the ball, you take the timeout, and Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars are like, nah, we're just gunning for it. We're absolutely going for it. I thought that was awesome. Really, I mean, I really wish the Baltimore Ravens had some wide receivers. I mean, having to call DeSean Jackson up from the practice squad to bail your team out in the end. I mean, it's pretty brutal to watch the Ravens play that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Lawrence finally, it seems like, I think has come around to just trusting whoever his receivers are. And I think that could be the difference for him moving forward. He literally was just chucking it. And receivers were just making plays all over the field. Really fun ending for that, for sure. All right, coming up next is time for our fantasy standouts from Sunday. And we'll mix in some Thanksgiving, of course, as well. So stay on the grid for that. As I mentioned, coming up in just a little bit, we'll do a little daily.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Fantasy, we'll set some props tonight over on Thrive Fantasy, so make sure you stay tuned to that. We'll help you win tonight for those contests. Also, Andrew Erickson will join us later in the show. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. We're right back at it, getting you ready for the next week in fantasy football. Huge week for a lot of you. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to take a look at our fantasy standouts from Sunday and also from Thanksgiving Day. For those of you who played players on Thanksgiving, well, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Three great games, as Davis mentioned, all pretty compelling right down to the wire. Definitely with the spread being in line, by the way, in that Dallas Giants game. Incredible backdoor cover there for the Giants at the end. All right, let's go to the fantasy standouts. We'll start off with quarterback, and we'll start off with Justin Herbert, who went to Arizona in a really wild back-and-forth game. And Herbert threw a two-point conversion at the end of the game to win. He also threw three touchdown passes, 38 yards, 274 passing yards. Josh Allen, 253 pass yards, 78 rushing yards, three touchdown, one interception. Buffalo very fortunate to win that game. Hey, Mac Jones, remember him from about this guy? 153 passing yards, 157 rushing yards, two touchdowns. If you lost your fantasy league playing this guy, you did something wrong. And Trevor Lawrence, 321 passing yards, three touchdowns. And also that huge two-point conversion in the end. But look, credit where credit is due. I know that Arizona Davis is, you know, more or less a disaster this season. Let's be honest. If you watch Kyler Murray's press post-game, he was you know, pretty adamant about them screwing up. Used some curse words too. But in the end, Chargers are probably a little bit better than average team, a team that you do not want to back when they're a favorite, which proved again yesterday at Arizona. But in the end, they picked up that huge win. And I think that at this point, safe to say that Herbert and San Diego, probably not, or Los Angeles, probably not going very far. But from a fantasy perspective, Herbert's still a playable quarterback for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he definitely is. And things are starting to break a little bit more favorably in terms of the Chargers, you know, making the playoffs, you know, making some sort of run. So the Bills and the Dolphins, I mean, you know, whoever ends up winning the division there. So one of them is going to win the division and one of them is going to make the wild card. However, I mean, I think you could see the Bengals and the Ravens just given, like, I think the Chargers could end up having a better record than either one of those. So I think we could end up seeing the Chargers, you know, maybe get the 5 seed or whatever, because the Bengals' upcoming schedule is absolutely brutal. They play the Chiefs, the Buccaneers, the Bills. Like, it's pretty interesting there. And then, I mean, shout out Jalen Hurts. Like, this dude, unbelievable. And no, I mean, no, he is not the MVP. He's going to get some MVP votes, and there will be I'm already dreading the people who are like, you know, Jalen Hurts MVP. I mean, obviously Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, but very happy to see my guy Jalen Hurts be just unbelievably productive, pretty much. And you know, I mean, they could have given up in that game, right? That was the most they've been punched in the mouth. I mean, giving up 33 points, I don't think they've given up more than 24 points all year.
Yeah, no, having a great season for sure. 10 wins for Philadelphia, 10-1 already on the season. All right, now at running back, we did get some pretty good performances yesterday, specifically from two players who, if you played yesterday, you probably should have won. Josh Jacobs being one of them, 229 rushing yards, 6 receptions, 74 yards, maybe one of the biggest surprises in all of fantasy football this season. A guy that you thought would be in a platoon situation ends up being the best running back in fantasy this year. Two more touchdowns for him yesterday. Miles Sanders, 143 yards on the ground, 3 receptions, also 2 scores. Austin Eckler piled up his receptions, 11 for 60, so a 20-plus performance day for him. James Conner also scored with 120 yards. And if not for Brian Robinson, Washington may lose that game against Atlanta yesterday. He had over 100 yards, 2 receptions, 20 yards and a touchdown, as Davis Washington does, seems like they feel very compelled to make Brian Robinson the guy at this point. And hey, the Commanders just keep winning somehow. I don't know how, but they keep winning.
Well, they keep winning because opposing teams just do like the dumbest possible stuff against them. Like in the end, that pass that Marcus Mariota made. I mean, that is, and Ron Rivera didn't even hide it when he was talking about Taylor Heinicke. He, like, in his press conference where he was like, yeah, we're benching Carson and going with Heinicke, he basically said, like, yeah, the team tries harder when Taylor Heinicke is the starting quarterback, which is obviously insane. Not saying that it's insane to start Heinicke. I would never have traded for Carson Wentz, think he's terrible. The Brian Robinson thing is sort of interesting. I mean, he still is not even playing 50% of the snaps at running back for the Washington Commanders. And I would imagine if and when they ever end up, you know, actually playing good teams or end up, you know, trailing, Antonio Gibson is going to be the guy you want. He runs more pass routes. He had 3 targets yesterday and still pretty effective as a rusher. But Brian Robinson getting goal line carries, getting 15, 18 touches a game, like, that pretty much makes you an automatic start in this day and age. Yep. with the NFL. And, of course, Josh Jacobs. I mean, what is there to say? Absolutely unbelievable. Guys, I think 53 fantasy points yesterday, like, just unbelievable stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Having an unbelievable year, too. I wonder where he'll go next year in fantasy drafts. All right, let's go over now to the receivers. Chris Godwin piled up the numbers for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Boy, what a disappointing finish for them. I don't know what in the world was going on with them yesterday. 12 receptions, 110 yards, and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson, 9 for 139 on Thanksgiving with a touchdown. Amon-Ra St. Brown, also with a good game for Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. Zay Jones with his best game as a member of the Jaguars. He had 11 catches for 145 yards, along with that two-point conversion at the end of the game to win it. And Garrett Wilson with Mike White, nice game for him. 5 catches, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns. Elijah Moore also getting involved in the offense with the Jets as well. And so maybe Mike White being at the helm, at least for the time being, breathes some offense to the Jets. Now, I do want to say what all the Jets fans are saying, Davis, today, which is, yeah, that's great that they played so well, but Mike White did this last year too for a couple of games. But I don't know. It seems to me like he offers more than Zach Wilson at this point. I think it's undeniable.
Yeah, I mean, I think even if the Jets end up going on a horrible losing streak and they look terrible and the defense starts to give up, to me, it just simply does not matter because we have already learned what we need to learn about Zach Wilson. And maybe going into this offseason, he becomes a different guy, like he works a little bit harder. It seems like maybe one of the things is that Zach Wilson is not super coachable, maybe is not the best locker room guy. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, I'm not in the Jets locker room. But it is completely night and day, and maybe even more importantly, it sounds like his teammates don't like him all that much. You know, Elijah Moore was like, you know, doing post-game conference, quotes like from the Bible about like feeling persecuted or whatever. Like anytime your teammates are talking about playing with you seeming as a punishment, that doesn't seem great. I would say the biggest impact of Mike White has got to be on Garrett Wilson specifically. I mean, he's probably the top 15 wide receiver for the rest of the season. He is so good. And I have a feeling that he is going to end up being like a pretty huge league winner down the stretch, especially because all these games matter for the Jets.
Yeah, and also their two top running backs, Breece Hall out for the year. Michael Carter could be out for an extended period of time as well. More throwing for the Jets potentially coming. All right, really quiet tight end week for sure, to say the least. Travis Kelce, you know, obviously the one guy that does it every week, so he'll pop up here on our list with 4 catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown. But beyond that, Dalton Schultz was the winner on Thursday. In fact, 3 touchdowns from the Cowboys tight ends on Thursday. He had 2. Did Schultz? Oliver had 4 for 76 in a touchdown, but nobody played him. TJ Hockenson, 5 for 43 in a touchdown. And Hunter Henry, again, from Thursday, 3 receptions, 63 yards. But Kelce is the one play that every week is going to be there for you. But there just is zero consistency beyond that. And we talk about it every week. I guess we could do it again. Like the drop off from Kelce now to everybody else is just so crazy. I mean, Andrews is a nothing, at least for now. Waller, Kittle. I know Kittle last week had the great game. He did nothing against the Saints. It's just flipping coins at tight end outside of Kelce. That's basically it.
Yeah, I mean, this is the biggest domination that the number one player at a position has had over both the second player and then the benchmark we use is the 12th player, because 12 team leagues and everything. We have never seen anything like this in fantasy football. Kelce is going to end the season being the number one most valuable player in fantasy. And I don't even think it's really going to be that close, to be honest.
Yeah, no, definitely an unbelievable year for him. Should get some MVP votes, I would think, as well. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to dive into our look at Daily Fantasy. Of course, I was playing yesterday on Thrive Fantasy trying to pick some props. Did okay? Did I do well enough to make money? No. Another story. Be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy, daily fantasy sports and esports platform for player props. Use promo code SportsGrid when you sign up today, and you're going to receive a 100% instant first deposit match of up to $250. Download Thrive Fantasy right now at the App Store or buy, of course, the website, thrivefantasy.com. Sign up right now and prop up today. All right, Davis, it's Monday Night Football. Time to take a look at some of the props. Now, I played this weekend, too, over at Thrive Fantasy, and I entered a contest. I thought I did pretty well. You know, looking back on it, I ended up hitting a lot of the props that I signed up for. I mean, I was all in on just fading everything Denver, Davis. I mean, it's the easiest thing to do all season long. I did it again yesterday with Russell Wilson. You know, fun really app to play on, and naturally, you know, like any other contest, you have to do exceptionally well. And so for me, I did okay, but not good enough to cash yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the most interesting thing about the Thrive Fantasy contest are that you are rewarded for, you know, thinking a little bit more deeply about what your opponents are going to be doing, because of course you are selecting these props, but then you are awarded points on them. We're going to talk a little bit about that for some of these props tonight. You know, like basically everyone looks at Amon-Ra St. Brown on Thanksgiving. That was my top prop, right? Okay. And of course everyone bet the over because everyone loves Amon-Ra St. Brown. And so not only do you have to, you know, be able to figure out like, all right, what's this guy going to do? But then you also need to be thinking about, hey, what's Craig doing? I don't want to make the same selections as Craig.
Yeah. Well, in this case, you could have, and you wouldn't have made money. But that's okay. All right. Let's lean on Davis for this. Let's take a look at some of the props tonight over again on Thrive Fantasy. Love this app and definitely a way to get involved when you want to play tonight with Najee Harris. His over under is 52.5 total yards. And again, there's point allocations for these as well. So we're going to go through it. Kenny Pickett's total 235.5. George Pickens is 43.5. Paris Campbell is over under on total touchdowns is 0.5. Alec Pierce, the wide receiver on the Colts, 2.5 total receptions there, Davis. So naturally, for those people who don't know, maybe they're just, you know, tuning in, it's Pittsburgh and Indianapolis tonight. So just to be clear in that game, you know, the Steelers have been very much up and down, more downs than ups. The Colts, Davis, they looked like they were left for dead. Jeff Saturday comes in, puts Matt Ryan back in, and now all of a sudden all the fantasy assets on the Colts appear to be at least playable. So how do you see tonight?
I mean, I think that we are entering into the part of the season where what do the Steelers have to lose? They are 3-7. They are probably asking themselves, what team are we going to be next year? So I think that, you know, when they brought Kenny Pickett in, it was a little bit more conservative, a lot of short throws to Diontae Johnson, a lot of both Jalen Warren and Najee Harris. Jalen Warren is not playing tonight. That is going to be, you know, a huge differentiator, a huge separator. So I kind of like the over in this game, and I kind of think both teams are just going to kind of play fast and loose. Because what do they have to lose? I mean, I guess theoretically the Colts could maybe still win this division if the Titans go into a tailspin. But I mean, the Steelers are playing for nothing, really.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, so let's take a look at some of the other props potentially here. Now, again, some other options for you here, Davis, when you look at it, is obviously Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett has really been, you know, sort of a player, I think, this season that can thrive in the right situation. What do you think about the possibility for him tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're going to go with the idea that this is a game that has the ability to go over, I do like Pickett tonight. And I think the total is fairly low because it seems to really only be accounting for his passing yards, right? And he had 265 last week against Cincinnati, and he's adding, you know, between 10 and 30 rushing yards per week as well. Now, obviously, I think this will probably be the most popular over. I think 235.5 for a quarterback probably will be the most popular prop on Thrive. So that is definitely something to think about as you are entering into these contests tonight.
Okay. All right. So there is Kenny Pickett. Of course, you can get involved over at Thrive Fantasy tonight. Again, a huge bonus involved if you get signed up. Now, obviously, the Indianapolis Colts, you know, it's been very up and down for their receivers more than anything this season, Davis. And when you look at it, of course, Michael Pittman has been very up and down. You know, another name that's really been interesting is Paris Campbell. As Campbell has been super unpredictable this season, it seems like it's either a huge game for him or nothing at all.
Yeah, so Campbell was the one guy where I was looking through and I was like, you know what? Everyone is going to be on Campbell overs. He's been a really popular play in DFS. His receiving totals are pretty low, I believe, on Thrive. It's 33.5 yards. And I also think that smart players in this format are going to be correlating these. I mean, that's going to be the smartest thing to do. If you have Paris Campbell over receptions, over yards, you're going to want to bet him over touchdowns. And so that is, you know, just a smart way to play the game. But I want to be short on Paris Campbell in this game. So I did really like betting the under on 0.5 touchdowns in this game. And I don't think it'll be very popular because it is weighted, obviously, more heavily towards the over. You know, you're going to get a greater point return going on the over there. So I like the under on Paris Campbell.
All right. Now, naturally, some of the other receivers that could be beneficiaries of a good game for Matt Ryan tonight on the Indianapolis Colts is Alec Pierce. Now, when they, you know, initially took Pierce in the draft, Davis, I thought, wow, this is the perfect kind of complementary receiver to have in the offense. Guy that can run over the middle, catch passes. Again, a player that's been a little bit up and down. His total tonight in terms of receptions is set at 2.5.
So I really like Alec Pierce here. I think the right way to kind of strategize on Thrive tonight is sort of picking a winner between Alec Pierce and Paris Campbell. This game seems to me just a little bit stronger for Pierce. I mean, Paris Campbell has been in the NFL for a long time. We're talking, I think, 5 seasons now, and Alec Pierce is kind of our ascending rookie. What were we just talking about? Like, not really a ton to play for these teams. They kind of have to figure out what they have. I think Alec Pierce, I mean, he's on a really good contract. If they're able to turn Michael Pittman Jr. and Alec Pierce into their starting wide receivers for the next 6 years, that's going to be a huge advantage for them as an organization. And again, I think that Pierce props will probably draw more under action from my fellow contestants on Thrive than over. So I want to be over on Alec Pierce props on Thrive and under on Paris Campbell props on Thrive, I think.
All right, so there you go. You can get all signed up at Thrive Fantasy. Because again, within the single game format, you have to pick sort of your poison in terms of how to get the most amount of points when it pertains to sort of playing this. And I think that that creates a whole other strategy as well.
I mean, yeah, like really, so if you're not familiar with the app, really the idea is, generally speaking, I mean, on Sundays, there will be a whole menu of props, and that is going to change your strategy, right? Because not every single prop is going to get action. But for example, tonight on Thrive, Monday Night Football, I mean, the menu relative to what a full slate of action, you know, for example, on Thanksgiving or on Sunday would be, is going to be a little bit different. So it's not really enough to just be like, all right, well, I like Kenny Pickett over, I like Najee Harris over, I like Deontay Johnson under. Like that's not going to cut it because your entry is likely to be heavily duplicated by the opponents that you're going to be playing against. You're going to be rooting for, you know, the exact same thing by and large. So honestly, and again, I'm still toying with these contests. I'm still thinking about the game theory and everything involved. But I do wonder if one of the strategies would be to go through in every category and just select the category that has the fewest expected action on it. So for example, we go in, we look at Najee Harris, 52.5 yards, and we say, all right, everyone's on the over, I'm taking the under. Everyone's on Kenny Pickett's over, I'm taking the under. Everyone's on Michael Pittman Jr.'s over, and then we take the under there as well. So I really think, I guess I'm not quite certain yet what exactly is game theory optimal there. I'll probably need to play around on a couple more slates. The number one thing that I'm betting people are not doing, though, is they are likely not going to be correlating their selections. I think probably what they're going to go do is they're going to be like, all right, I like this guy, I like this guy, I like this guy, and not thinking about how in one game those selections are going to interact with one another.
Yeah, I missed one by accident. George Pickens, his total 43.5 over on Thrive. My bad on that.
Yeah, this is my favorite one. If you're gonna be on the Pickett over, as I am, I do think that George Pickens is over is probably my favorite. I mean, one to begin with, I am a noted and Deontay Johnson hater. Pickens is coming off his his second best game of the year. 6 targets, 4 receptions, 83 yards, and a touchdown, 86% of the snaps against the Cincinnati Bengals. I just think he's a star. So in all avenues, DFS, showdown, whatever. I am just absolutely trying to pile it in on George Pickens, who I think is going to do really well tonight.
All right, there you go. And get on over to Thrive Fantasy, get involved, get signed up tonight. Coming up next, our buddy Andrew Erickson joins us from Fantasy Pros. We'll talk a little fantasy football about the week pass and also look ahead to the future, so make sure you
try a free sample of Berry Pie.
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's Signos.com with code SPARK. Signos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
2 ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Stay on the grid for that. In addition, I'll be right back with you here at 2 o'clock Eastern for another edition of Newswire. So stay on the grid for that. And then tomorrow on the show, Davis and I are going to talk about the big match. I know it's like not really all that fantasy relevant, but naturally it's the biggest soccer match of 2022, maybe in 5 years for the United States team as they take on Iran. They need a win tomorrow to advance to the next group. So we'll break that game down for you of what could potentially happen. We'll be right back with more FSD here on this Monday. Stay on the grid. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. It's time to check in with Andrew Erickson, of course, of Fantasy Pros. We've got a game to talk about in Monday Night Football tonight. Daily Fantasy. We'll go through some of the Week 12 standouts as well. Great to have you back here on the show, Andrew. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Great to have you back.
No, great to be back. Definitely a great Thanksgiving. The turkey really put me out, so I didn't have to watch all the Patriots-Vikings games. So very, very pleased.
Yeah, no, great game, by the way, Thursday night as well as the Egg Bowl, finishing to that, no doubt. All right, so let's take a look at it. Tonight we got the Colts and Pittsburgh Steelers, a game maybe early on in the season where you probably would have thought, hey, these two teams have a shot for the playoffs. I guess Indianapolis still sort of does, but if they are going to get there, Jonathan Taylor is going to need a big game tonight. He's priced at $17,100, followed by Michael Pittman at 15-3, Kenny Pickett 14-7, Matt Ryan 14-4, and then, of course, Najee Harris at 14, Deontay Johnson at 11-4. All right, so what's the theory on tonight's game, Andrew?
Yeah, I like attacking it from the Steelers side of things. I know that the Colts, you look at their defense, they're not giving up a ton of fantasy production to, you know, wide receivers and pass catchers. But the way that Kenny Pickett plays, you know, he comes with this backyard style type of football where he's not afraid to throw the ball downfield. Now, is it accurate all the time? No. But you have George Pickens racking up a ton of air yards. He leads the team in receiving yards since Kenny Pickett took over as a starting quarterback. You have Pat Freiermuth, who's seen a massive increase in terms of his target share since the team traded away Chase Claypool. So, I mean, if Kenny Pickett has a game here, we know who his receivers are going to be with Pickens and Freiermuth, whereas Deontay Johnson is really just soaking up a lot of these inefficient, low-value targets underneath. So I like Pickens, Freiermuth, and Kenny Pickett. And then mixing in from the other side, I mean, Paris Campbell is someone that has a massive target share with Matt Ryan, 25% his last 4 games, and the Steelers have been dead last in terms of fantasy points allowed to slot receivers this year. So those are some of the guys that I will be targeting.
Yep, definitely on board with the Steelers wide receivers, George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth in particular. Najee Harris is going to be just absolutely crazy owned in the captain. Jalen Warren is not going to be playing in this game. He'd been working into a larger role, both on third downs and the two-minute drill. I think maybe in his last game, he even got to, I believe, a 36% snap share. Najee Harris did have 2 weeks ago against the Bengals. A 19-yard rushing touchdown, which was the longest scoring play of his career. So I just am starting out by, I probably won't play very much Najee Harris in the captain at all. Probably will be much heavier on Pickens and Freiermuth in particular. And I mean, just a couple notes, like in general, what ends up winning these slates is cheaper guys who are playing a lot of snaps. And you might remember old Steven Sims. He did go to college here in the great state of Kansas, but formerly has had a useful fantasy role as a rookie for the Washington football team. He had 34 receptions, 310 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Also had a punt return touchdown then as well. He's kind of taken over the role that Chase Claypool left. They're also playing Miles Boykin a little
back, and that was Mike White, and boy, did he come through yesterday for them. Now, it was against one of the worst defenses in the NFL, let's be clear, but he did have over 300 passing yards and a couple of rushing yards, also threw 3 touchdown passes yesterday, and I feel like we did this last year a little bit with Mike White, to be honest with you, Andrew, but it does feel different this year. It feels like this performance probably would carry him for a few weeks regardless of what the outcome is.
Well, I think this year he has better weapons. Like last year, he was throwing the balls to the running back so often because there weren't any wide receivers that they had that were really healthy. You look at, you know, this last week's game, 11.3 yards per attempt. You know, he completed nearly 80% of his passes, 131.1 passer rating from a clean pocket. They weren't getting pressure on him, and he was just delivering it to his playmakers. It really, I think, was as simple as that. He was an accurate quarterback, and he was just getting it out quickly to the guys that make plays. So I would say that it's kind of fluky. He was playing a bad defense, but who is he playing this week? He's playing the Minnesota Vikings, who just got shredded by Mac Jones. 382 passing yards and 2 touchdowns for Mac Jones. So, I mean, if Mac Jones and this Patriots offense that looked absolutely horrible over the last couple of weeks, if they can move the ball on the Vikings, I think that Mike White is going to be fine. And just rest the season for the Jets, you get the Bills, Lions, Jaguars, Seahawks. Like, a lot of streamable weeks for Mike White to kind of continue to produce in this Jets passing game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mike White will probably be borderline fine. Like, I picked him up. I'm in a couple of different super flex leagues where I spent a bunch of fab on him last week. Didn't end up starting him, actually, because it was unclear if he was going to start when I had to make a decision on Daniel Jones. That's neither here nor there. No one cares. The biggest deal for me with the Jets is going to be that Garrett Wilson starting every single week. Elijah Moore, I think you can now start him as kind of like a borderline wide receiver, 3 wide receiver, 4 type. Probably Corey Davis doesn't have a role as a starting wide receiver on good fantasy teams, but I mean, in 16-team leagues, whatever. And then Tyler Conklin as well, 8 PPR points yesterday. I mean, Craig, you and I have been talking all year long about how absolutely turgid the tight end position is. Tyler Conklin, like 80% snap share, 70% route participation. If they can average, you know, 250 passing yards per game, he'll probably get into that conversation just because he's playing so much. So to me, it's not like I'm not starting Mike White over, you know, quarterback X, who I've been starting all year, but I will be starting Jets skill position players.
All right, fair enough. And of course, on Thursday, we were treated to a high-scoring performance between Detroit and Buffalo, and one of those players who got involved in a big way, Isaiah McKenzie, even more than Gabe Davis did on Thursday. And certainly when you talk about scoring touchdowns, that's what we're looking for, Andrew, in fantasy. And McKenzie, as the season has gone on, let's be honest, a little bit inconsistent. It's been a game here, a game there. But look, what he has proven is to be at the very least option 2.5 for Josh Allen at this point. And I wonder what that means moving forward.
Yeah, I think that we're kind of seeing a lot of, okay, it's Stephon Diggs hits and then one of Gabe Davis, Dawson Knox, or Isaiah McKenzie kind of follows up with another performance. So it's good to see that McKenzie's had his role increase in 2 of the last 3 weeks. You know, he's been over the 74% route participation mark in 2 of the last 3 weeks. So when the Bills are dialing up a pass-heavy approach, we are seeing more 3 wide receiver sets, and that means we are seeing more of Isaiah McKenzie in the slot. So, yeah, I do think that he is definitely viable, especially in matchups that call for, hey, this defense is bad against slot receivers. Okay, this is a spot where you do want to play Isaiah McKenzie versus when they're facing a team with a bad run defense potentially, then you're going to probably see more of the 2 tight ends, not as much as the 3 wide receivers. So I still think he's going to be probably boom or bust, but that kind of puts him in with the Gabe Davises, with Dawson Knox, as one of these guys will spike every week, and I think it's worth chasing the upside just in a Josh Allen-led offense.
Yep, totally with this. I mean, my concern with McKenzie has been that Khalil Shakir looks better than him every time he gets on the field. Like, Isaiah McKenzie, basically, I believe he had minus 6.2 EPA in that game against the Chiefs. He fumbled twice, he fumbled once, and then twice Josh Allen was intercepted when targeting him, including one horrible bobble. But the Bills have gone the other way since then and have played Shakir less and less and have played McKenzie more and more. I think probably because they've realized that the ingredient their offense is missing this year compared to the seasons past is Josh Allen does need like a pretty good slot wide receiver because he is extending plays and extending plays and extending plays, and he's got to find someone to check down to or you know, find the guy who's beating that zone coverage sometimes. And, you know, Stephon Diggs could do that, but their other outside wide receiver options are like Jake Kumerow and Isaiah Hodgins they cut, and now he's on the Giants. Like, they don't have anyone. So Diggs has to play on the outside. Gabe Davis is outside only. So then you're looking at it and like, well, all right, I guess McKenzie's got to do it. So I think when McKenzie has good games, you're probably going to anticipate Buffalo Bills wins because that means that the Bills offense is functioning, you know, basically as intended. So if he's out there, I mean, I could see starting McKenzie in, you know, the fantasy football playoffs or whatever pretty easily.
Yeah, well, one of my teams, hopefully down the stretch, can play him for sure. All right, now, in terms of the running back situation, we're always looking for anybody viable that we could play as an RB2 or a flex, Andrew. And Samaje Perine in week 12, he had over 50 yards rushing, also had 4 receptions for 35 yards and a touchdown. Now, obviously, he's not going to get nearly the amount of targets and the amount of snap share depending on injury. And that's, you know, obviously what we'll be looking for moving forward. But he's always been a pretty viable guy when he's gotten the opportunity.
Yeah, no, agree. You know, he came up big at times last year, kind of filling in relief for Joe Mixon, you know, 21 total touches. He played 80% of the snaps, so he was the full-blown workhorse. I know the matchup was tough against the Titans, but, you know, that's the benefit of playing on the Bengals offense. That's one of the best red zone offenses in the NFL. If you're facing a tough run defense, okay, but you still have scoring opportunities, which we saw, obviously, from Perine. And we know that he was involved in the receiving game, so we saw that come through again here with the 4 catches for 35 yards. So I think that he's a guy you can trust. You know, if Joe Mixon doesn't come back from his concussion, I would feel fringy about trying to play him, you know, if Mixon is active. I know that he does kind of see some involvement as a receiver, even if Mixon plays, but usually it's still Mixon's backfield. But the Bengals do have really great matchups the next 2 weeks against the Chiefs and Browns, which are good for running backs. So, you know, if you're desperate, I could see Perine play as a alongside Mixon, but most cases he's probably just a high-end handcuff that you want to keep in case Mixon misses any more time.
Yeah, I mean, the whole, like, Smush Perine, honestly, very unfairly maligned this entire offseason, doing these best ball drafts and everything. People were talking themselves into the University of Michigan, Chris Evans, because Evans is the younger, the more exciting guy, yada yada. It's just so much more easy to get excited about a guy who you've never seen suck before. And Samaje Perine, you know, let's be clear, he has been pretty bad at the NFL level before. It was just in a really different context. It was when he got way overdrafted by the Washington football team, averaged 3 yards per carry, fumbled a ton, wasn't doing anything as a wide receiver, like really was not good. Then he got cut, moved on, established himself. Yeah, Craig was a member of the Miami Dolphins for a little while. Yeah. I bet people probably forget that. Cut by the Dolphins, ends up in Cincinnati and finds his level, right? Smosh P. Ryan, pretty good passing down back, pretty good in pass protection. Never going to be a guy who's so good that you look at him and be like, oh, you know, we better start working him in a little bit with Joe Mixon. No, it's just, he just plays when Mixon's tired or when Mixon blows a pass block or whatever. He's pretty good filling in. I think probably most importantly, the offense is just really good, so he doesn't have to be the engine of anything. And, I mean, he's looking like a guy who all offseason should have been drafted as one of these premium tier handcuffs. You know, your Alexander Madison's, your Rashad White's, guys like that. And he was kind of a gift as the last round pick. So yeah, I mean, if you have Samaje Perine, start him in any game Mixon doesn't play, and definitely, I mean, at this point, do not cut him.
Yeah, for sure. Got to keep those handcuffs for the fantasy football playoffs, Andrew, which is coming up soon. Looking forward to catching up again next week as we creep toward that. Thanks again for coming on the show. Great to see you again, and have a great rest of your week. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, Andrew Erickson joining us of Fantasy Pros. Coming up next, my gosh, this hour flew by. We are almost out of time. We got the Sports Grid 60, and then Kevin and Donnie coming up at the top of the hour with a little early line. I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire for everything happening in the latest of sports and sports wagering. And no doubt we got you covered all week long, including our coverage of the World Cup tomorrow, which begins just before the game, 2 o'clock Eastern, our show on Newswire preempted for that huge game tomorrow between the United States and Iran. Make sure you keep it right here to Sports Grid. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Without further ado, we end the show with some commentary. Let's see what's on Davis's mind as we end it with the Sports Grid 60.
I mean, Craig, pretty predictably, this this 20-day period of my life, well, specifically this last week, where there was a full slate of NFL games 3 days apart, 4 World Cup games per day. I mean, does anyone know what's happening in the NBA right now? If you stop some, I love the NBA. I'm all for it. I'm not watching an NBA game in 5 days. I'm way behind on my podcast. Like, you could tell me, like, oh my God, LeBron had 3 triple doubles in a row. Like, I'd be like, I have no clue. It's just absolutely insane. The World Cup has been phenomenal. I'm very much hoping that the United States is able to win tomorrow. I think it'll just be great for the sport here and in the States in general. And everyone, if you've not been watching, I would say this is a slightly above average quality of World Cup for sure. I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, well, hopefully the U.S. can be triumphant tomorrow against Iran for sure. And watching all the games yesterday, I was locked in. Really exciting day, especially the late games. Do want to focus, though, on one of the early games I found sort of perplexing, which was Tampa Bay and Cleveland. I don't know for those of you who watched that game, but I just couldn't understand what the Buccaneers were. I mean, they have Tom Brady and some of the best receivers in the NFL, and it was sort of odd for the first time ever to see a Tom Brady team since maybe he was a rookie or second year play like super conservative, just running the ball and kicking the ball back to Cleveland and letting your defense win. And guess what? It didn't happen. Great pass yesterday. If this was Jacoby Brissett's final start as a member of the Browns, threw a great pass to David Njoku, caught it with one hand. Browns went to overtime and they ended up picking up the win. All right, that'll do it for our show today. Thanks again to Andrew Erickson for coming on the show. For, of course, my co-host Davis Maddock and my producer Brett Levy, I'm Craig Nitsch. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Monday. I'll be back with you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire.